All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I got a question for you. You ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we're back with Starless. And hopefully I can show more of it than I did last time. Unfortunately, the RGE situation, which has been fixed, by the way, but the RGE situation kind of gave me cold feet, so I decided to put the uncensored just with Sachi, just a nude sprite of Sachi. Don't go crazy. I didn't even show any of the H scenes, but just that nude Sachi sprite kind of gave me cold feet, so I decided to put that on BitChute instead, and I do apologize for that. The RGE situation has been reinstated. There might even be a chance that they wouldn't have given me too much of crap, but my channel does have a warning, so I want to make sure that I don't get a strike for my next offense on that. My warning, by the way, was for posting the website J-List so people could buy the collector's edition of Closed Game a while back, a long while back. So, let's just continue and do what we're doing. Yawn. I wobble to my feet and stretch. It's my third day now, so I'm starting to get used to waking up in this room. I look at the clock and see that it's 6. I managed to get up without oversleeping. My muscles are a little achy from yesterday, but other than that, I'm in fair condition. I fix my bedhead and go over to the little washstand at the corner of the room. I brush my teeth and wash my face up real quick. After that, I get dressed and I'm ready to go. Now let's get the morning chores over with. I slap my cheeks with both hands to psych myself up, then leave the room. As soon as I step into the hallway, my eyes are drawn to the neighboring door. I can't hear a single peep on the other side of the door. What if she's not awake yet? Unfortunately, I don't have the courage to open the door and check inside a girl's room. Oh well, we'll see each other at breakfast anyway. No need to go out of my way and start prying. I make my way down the hallway. I climb down to the stairs to the entrance hall, continue on to the basement. I descend the dark and creepy stairs into the basement, make my way over to the boiler. First, you turn on the power. I operate the panel and go about the same procedure I learned yesterday. There we go. The lights on the panel indicate no problems and my job is done. That's one job down. Next would be, I remember what I have to do next and sigh. Now I have to help that brat Marisa get dressed. What a great way to kill my motivation. I'd ignore it if I could, but unfortunately that's not an option. I check one more time to make sure the boiler is running fine before leaving the basement. On my way back through the entrance hall, I run into Sachi. Good morning, did you sleep well? Pretty much. Are you off to attend to the princess of the castle? Yeah. My condolences. Well, good luck with that. Want to trade jobs? When hell freezes over. She rejects my proposal with a smile. So what are you doing here? Mitarai still isn't up yet, so I'm on my way to wake her myself. Apparently my suspicions are correct. We tried calling her on her bracelet, but she won't respond. Your room is next to hers. Do you know anything? I haven't seen her since I took her back to our room. Plus, I thought it would be rude to open her door and check in on her. Though, to be honest, it's mostly because I'm too embarrassed to face her after what happened yesterday. You're so useless. You've been working here longer than her, you know. It's your job to look out for her. Yeah, by a whole single day. But anyway, yeah, I'll go see what the problem is. Want me to go with you? Just then, my bracelet starts beeping. Might want to think twice about that. Look, the princess is pissed now because you dilly-dallied too long. I press the button and immediately Marius's voice assaults my ears. What's taking you so long, you sloth? Hurry up! I'm on my way. I cut the call without waiting for a response. You better hurry or else you'll be getting another call. Take care of Mitarai then. You got it. I bid farewell and rush over to Marius's room. I stop in front of the door and take a deep breath to calm myself down before knocking. Get in here already! Immediately I receive an angry yell in response. Excuse me. I open the door and frightfully make my way inside. Marissa is waiting in the center of the room in her underwear, glaring at me just like yesterday. Her state of dress doesn't seem to bother at all. Having to see her standing around in her underwear is apparently more embarrassing for me than it is for her. You're late. Do you even want this job? You don't, do you? Well, that's fine. You can just quit then. I'll tell my mother about it and we'll have you fired. No, I do want it. Really, I'm very sorry. Marius's lips twist into an evil, sadistic smile upon hearing my response. Well, if you insist, I guess I'll let it slide this time. Now hurry it up. What? Are you retarded? Oh, you retarded! You have a job to do. She emphasizes her body. Now get to work. Oh, yes, let me help you get dressed. I don't want things to get even messier than they already are. Let's just get the job done with and get out of here. Now hurry up. Remember, I hate worthless sloths. We gotta go through this again? Well, YouTube, I gotta cut you on this, because they want me to go through this shit again. She delivers a kick to my midsection, digging her toenails into my stomach. Even with the strength of a woman, it's hard to just shrug off that kind of impact. But if I wince or fall over something, she might harp on me about being pathetic and kick me even more. I grip my teeth and proceed to take off her underwear. Dreadful. Just dreadful. How clumsy are you? My apologies. I don't have any experience with women's underwear. That's a freshly graduated virgin for you. So useless. Just remember, now that you work here, we're not going to accept your inexperience as an excuse. Make sure you get better at your job so you can please me. Okay. Now dress me in my outfit. I go over to the closet to bring out a new dress and pass her arms through the sleeves. I fasten the back and finish dressing her. Finally. You're good at licking my cunt, but you suck at everything else. I'm terribly sorry. I apologize for about the billionth time. Whatever, you may leave now. Now that my work is done with, she sends me away coldly. I said get out of here, you're an eyesore. She waves me away with her hand and I step back to the door. Very well, I'll take my leave. I bow and then make my escape. Sigh. After leaving Marius's room, I sigh for about the dozenth time today. Now to feed that stupid dog. I already had the energy sucked out of me, but I want to get this over with so I can hurry up and see how Meteorite's doing. I stop by the kitchen to pick up the food from Mikiko before making my way to the garden. While I was there, I looked around the dining room to see if Meteorite had come yet. Neither her nor Sachi seemed to be there. Once outside, I head over to the corner of the garden where Cerebus' doghouse is located. When I come upon this corner of the garden, I find the vicious dog tied up to a chain waiting for me with the same low growl as usual. You'd think he'd be a little nicer since I'm the one with his food. Here you go, Cerberus. Time for your lunch. I put on a friendly smile as I set the plate with food down in front of him. His meal today is a thick, delicious-looking steak. I'm still pissed that a damn dog gets to eat so well. Whoa! He jumps at me the moment I set the food down, surprising me and causing me to fall backwards on my butt. I'm just outside the range of his chain, so he didn't get me. An inch closer, and I could have had a chunk taken out of me. You little... I had to stop myself from kicking him in the face right there. If I wasn't a servant here, I'd be contacting the damn animal shelter. Well, he's got his food, so no need to waste any more time on this stupid mutt. Once there's some distance between us, he finally starts eating his food. Detestable little mongrel. He must really hate me. Any normal dog would treat the one feeding them with a little more courtesy than that. I guess he's just really stupid. Must take after his owner. I go back inside and head for the dining room. You better have fed Cerberus. When I step inside, Mara says they're drinking a glass of milk and glaring at me. She's currently on a diet, so she doesn't attend breakfast. She must be here by coincidence. Yes, I just finished. Alright then. She responds coldly and turns her attention away from me. She's so full of herself. It's your goddamn dog. Why don't you feed him? Good morning, Sawatari. The mistress's breasts jiggle as she comes up to me. Good morning to you too, ma'am. I force myself not to look at her breasts as I return her greeting. She's wearing a thin negligee, just like yesterday. I guess she always comes straight to the dining room after she wakes up. You must have been tired after yesterday. Did you sleep well? I slept like a log, so yes, I'm doing just fine. To be honest, I have a lot of achy muscles, particularly the ones in my lower body. I need to put up a tough exterior in front of my superior, though. Good to hear it. I'm sure you'll have some delicious milk for me this morning. She looks down at my crotch with lustful eyes. A shiver runs down my back as I remember the bizarre occurrence that happened here yesterday. Knowing that I have to go through that again makes me want to run out of the room. Just then, the bracelet on her wrist starts beeping. Pardon me. She pushes the button and brings it up to her ear. Yes, it's me. Yes. Very well. Forward it to my desk. The conversation doesn't last long. Just as it ends, Mikiko comes in carrying the food and starts setting the table. Breakfast is ready. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I just received an urgent call from the company that I need to take care of. I'll have my breakfast after that's done with. I'm sorry, I know you went to a lot of trouble. Very well. Mikiko picks the dishes right back off the table and carries them into the kitchen. Hey mother, she's still not awake yet? Marisa asks, looking up at the clock after having finished drinking her milk in silence. It's this late and she's still not up. Shouldn't we just fire her? She adds, frustrated. It's clear she's talking about Mitarai. Mitarai's not up yet? Worried, I ask the mistress for clarification. She responds with a sigh, looking perplexed. Indeed, oversleeping on the first day. What are we going to do with her? I highly doubt she's asleep. There's no way she could have slept that whole time and not be awake yet. Could you go check on her? Huh? But I thought Sachi went to wake her up. I look over to the table and spot Sachi just casually sitting there eating breakfast. When she notices me staring, she stops eating and gives a nervous little smile. Yeah, I did go, but the door was kind of locked, so... She puts on a lighthearted smile before continuing. I tried knocking on the door and talking to her, but there was no response. I wasn't expecting it to be locked, so I didn't bring a spare key. So, I gave up. That easily? What the hell? How could she go around calling people useless when she's no different? I calm my agitation and think about the implications. When I left her room, I didn't lock that door. She would need to have woken up at one point and locked it herself. That means there's a good chance she's purposely locking herself up in her room. I'd go myself, but I have some business I need to take care of. You seem to be the only servant with nothing else to do. Can I leave it to you? Sending a member of the family in this situation would only exacerbate the situation. And since that, she's apparently useless, that only leaves me. If what happened last night is the reason she's locking herself in, then I carry some of the responsibility for it. It would be best for me to do it. I'll go. Wonderful. Here's the master key for the servants' rooms. You can use that to open her door. She takes a key ring out of her pocket, removes one of the keys, and hands it to me. Thanks. I'll be on my way then. I take the key and immediately make my way to the second floor. Once I make it to her room, I stop and take deep breaths to calm myself down. She must be in shock from what happened last night. She won't come out of her room because she's depressed and I doubt she wants to see my face. I need to make sure not to agitate her too much. After one more breath, I knock on the door. I wait for a while, but there's no reaction. She might not have heard the first one, so I knock louder this time. Yet, still no reaction. Mirai, it's me, Sawatari. Can you hear me? I try talking to her next. Mirai, please respond if you're in there. I don't seem to have any luck with that either. No good, huh? Sachi's right. This isn't going to be easy. I could just use the key and force myself in, but I want to save that for when I'm out of options. I put my ear up against the door and listen for any sound. After some straining, I can hear some faint sobbing through the door. Well, she's alive at least. That's good. Now I need to think of a way to get her to open up. With nothing to lose, I decide to just try to persuade her through the door. Mirai, can you hear me? I know you're in there. You don't have to say anything. Just listen. I'm used to this kind of thing, but I do my best to think of what to say. Maybe you'd say I'm not used to this kind of thing, but I do my best to think of what to say. I know how awful you must feel, but you can't fix anything by shutting yourself away. Can you please come out of there? If that's asking too much, can you at least let me inside for a little? There are a lot of things I want to apologize for. Could you let me come inside so we can talk? I stop for a second and wait for a reaction. Go away! She screams to the door in response. Leave me alone. I don't want to see anybody. I'm relieved to finally hear her talk. I need to take advantage of this opportunity and keep pushing. I know, but you can't just stay trapped in that room forever. Let's at least talk first. I won't do anything to hurt you. There's nothing to say. Don't be like that, please. All you have to do is let me in. No. Everyone's worried about you. Liar! People that are capable of doing something like that would never be worried about someone. I guess that is pretty hard to swallow. That's not true. I'm really worried, at least. Even if I was under the influence of a drug, I am partly responsible for what happened. If what I did hurt you, I'm sorry. I lower my head in an apology to the door, even knowing she can't see. I'm sure you have a lot of things you need to get off your chest, too. I'll hear you out. I'm ready to accept whatever it is you have to say, no matter how cruel. Don't let all that stuff bottle up inside you. Let it all out, and you'll feel better. I won't ask you to forgive me, but at least let me apologize face to face. I feel responsible. I need to say it. I don't hear anything else from the other side of the door. Can you hear me? Still silence. I guess I just don't have what it takes to get through to her. The only option left is to use the key and force my way in. I take it out of my pocket and hesitantly bring it to the keyhole. Click. Huh? Just as I'm about to put the key in, I hear the door being unlocked from the inside. Come in. She speaks softly through the door. I gulp and turn the knob. Mirai stands in the middle of the room in her maid uniform looking down at the ground. Her luggage was all disposed of by Marisa. After all, her maid outfit is the only thing she has to wear. Her eyes are red, probably from excessive crying. I avert my eyes, not knowing what to say to her. Eventually, I can't bear the silence anymore and manage to get the nerve to speak up. Mirai. She uses that as a cue to speak up as well. I don't want to blame you for everything. Hmm? In fact, you're a victim in all this too, just like me. I can feel a huge weight being lifted from my shoulders upon hearing her words. Her kindness almost brings me to tears. But I did a terrible thing to you. I don't think it's something that should be forgiven so easily. In that case, will you take responsibility? It's so sudden I don't know how to respond. What would taking responsibility indicate in this case? Does she mean, like, I have to marry her or something? I mean, if she does, that would totally be fine by me. I just need a little time to get my thoughts together first. She stares into my eyes, waiting for an answer. Of course I will. I don't know exactly what that entails, but I agree to indicate my sincerity. All right. She walks up to me. I don't know if it's just me, but her expression looks brighter than before. It's the thought that counts. You don't actually have to do anything. I'll forgive you. And like I said, I don't particularly blame you for it. I may have been under the influence of drugs, but it doesn't change the fact that I asked you for it. I carry some of the responsibility as well, so we cancel each other out. She gives me a quiet little smile. That makes me feel a little better. She's so kind, I really could fall in love with her. Although, her expression turns dark again. I don't think I can forgive the mistress and her family. She says with frustration in her voice as she chews on her lip. As anyone would expect, she's quite angry with the family after what they put her through. But you have to be able to deal with this with stuff like that if you want to be a servant here. What she went through is only the tip of the iceberg. I'm willing to bet things are going to get a lot worse. I didn't come here to be their sexual play toy. What was up with that interview anyway? What does any of that stuff have to do with hiring a servant? Don't ask me. The force of her tirade makes me step back and reflex. Now that I have experience working here, I've discovered that the interview is actually an adequate way of judging what they're looking for in a servant. I decide to keep my mouth shut for now, however. Doesn't it bother you the way they treat you? I'm not sure how to answer. I literally am not sure how to answer. Hold on. Some decisions matter, some don't. So, again, give me just a second to look through and see what we're going to answer. It says right here. No, not right here. You people don't have all day. Most people are gonna just flip right through this part. Like, what the fuck, Grim? Okay, here we go. It says... There's none of this. None of this matters. This one doesn't matter. I don't want to work here either, I answer honestly. But it's for the money. I don't have a choice. For pay that good, I'm willing to make a few sacrifices here and there. I give a more realistic, practical answer. It should have been obvious that they wouldn't pay that much money for any regular job. In the end, it's all about weighing the negatives against how much money you get for it. A few sacrifices? I'm sorry, but I just can't look at it that way. I don't want to become the type of person who would think nothing of selling their body for money. I do agree, but we've already been dragged into doing that already, whether we like it or not. I even get the sinking feeling that we're past the point of no return. So what are you going to do? I ask, fearing the answer. I'll quit, she mutters quietly. Quit? What are you going to do after you quit? I'll look for a more normal job. Her choice is different from mine, apparently. The reason she came here is different from mine, too. While I came here out of simple greed, she came here out of desperate circumstances. Who knows what kind of influence that might have on her decision? Yeah, but could you really find a job as good as this one? I think I can find a better job if I look hard enough. No, I know I can. I suppose you can find tons of jobs that are better in a sense, but the pay is a different story. You won't find a better paying job no matter how hard you look. I'll guarantee it. And after all, isn't the huge pay the reason why she chose this job to begin with? Well, Sawatari, we haven't known each other for long, but thank you, she says with a smile. I'm gonna go inform the mistress of my decision to quit. She bows, turns around, and leaves the room. Wait, Mitarai! I try to stop her, but her mind is apparently made up. She doesn't even stop to turn around. We were just starting to deepen our relationship. It can't end now. That's awful. She leaves her here. I'll never see her again. Wait, I'll come with you. I start to follow after her. Wait up, Mitarai. I catch up to her and speak to her back. Could you maybe think about reconsidering? No, she answered bluntly. So how do you plan on getting down the mountain after you quit? I'll call a taxi. How are you going to do that without a phone or anything? And even if you did have one, you wouldn't get reception out here. Then I'll walk. Heading down the mountain on foot would take hours. I guess that just goes to show how painfully serious she is about it. As we continue to talk, we eventually reach the front hall. Sachi is there, looking bored. Oh, Sleeping Beauty is finally awake, huh? Good morning, Mitarai. She comes over as soon as she notices. Where's the mistress? Mitarai asks immediately, without even returning her greeting. What? The mistress? She went to the reception to take care of some business. She should still be there. I see. The reception room. Thanks. Without another word, she heads off towards the reception room. What's up with her? She said she wanted to quit. I had a feeling this would happen. Sachi doesn't look surprised. She's your precious little partner, so it's your job to try and stop her. But if someone wants to quit or not, it's their decision to make. Under normal circumstances, sure, but this family isn't exactly normal, is it? Once they have someone in their grubby little paws, they're not gonna let go that easily. It would be in her best interest if you change her mind. She says with an uncharacteristically serious look on her face, making me nervous. I'll do what I can. I leave Sachi and resume falling after Mitarai. By the time I catch up, she's already in front of the door. Wait up! My voice goes ignored and she goes inside the room. Damn it! With no choice, I follow her inside. Once inside, I immediately notice the mistress sitting at her desk looking over some documents. She must be in the middle of handling the business she mentioned earlier. Excuse me. Oh, Mitarai, you're finally awake. She puts down her documents and gets up from her chair to greet her. She's still in the same negligee. She must have come here straight from the dining room. You were so late, I thought maybe you upset your health. So what's wrong? You look absolutely frightening. I see Sawatari is with you too. What brings you two here? She says, glancing down at her wrist to check the time. Oh, could you wait just a second? I'm just about to finish up here. She returns to her desk and starts stamping documents one by one. Mitarai and I wait in silence for her to finish. There we go. She puts the papers away inside a drawer and turns her attention back towards us. How can I help you? Oh, I've never seen her in her negligee before. Let me see here. There we go. Mitarai takes a small breath and looks the mistress straight in the eye. I'll get right down to the point. Sounds serious. I want to quit this job. I'm on pins and needles, waiting for what would happen next. That's funny. You should be a comedian. I'm being serious here. Thump. The mistress pounds the table in reflex. Are you really? Yes. Mirai maintained eye level the entire time. I see. There's a moment of silence before her next words. So what do you plan to do after quitting? She asked the same question I did. I'll look for a new job. Oh, I see. But do you really think you'll find a job as good as this one in this recession? I'll keep looking until I find one. I stand behind Mirai and watch as the same conversation she had with me plays out between them. You said something about your brother needing a large sum of money for his operation, if I recall. How do you plan on getting the money if you quit this job? Mirai stumbles over the difficult question. I'll figure something out. You will you? Is the amount you need really that easy to get? I believe it was something like 4 million, and that you needed it as soon as possible? You think a girl like you... You think a girl like you could earn that much money so quickly? Even if you sold your body, I doubt you could make your goal. Her earlier bravado vanishes into thin air and she's forced into silence. The mistress grins, knowing she has her on the ropes. So what would happen to your cute little brother if you don't get the money? And even if you did get the money, transplant surgery can be complicated. You need to secure the right donor and all for starters. If you want the operation to succeed, it's best to get the money as quickly as possible. You don't want to be too late with something like that. If you take too long, your brother's death would be on your hands. Don't say that. Mirai is nearly on the verge of crying. The mistress merely smiles, seemingly enjoying her reaction. Despite all that, do you still want to quit? A crack forms in Mirai's armor and she starts to waver. The mistress then opens up the drawer, takes an envelope out, and sets it on the desk. Inside this envelope is 4 million yen. What? Mirai stares in wide-eyed shock at the envelope. You can take it if you want. I'm willing to pay you in advance. You can save your brother with that money, yes? Mirai gulps as her eyes are glued to the envelope. Go on, help yourself. You have a right to that money. That is, if you plan to keep working here, of course. But I suppose it wouldn't be fair to give you special treatment. I better give Sawatari his share, too. She reaches into the desk and pulls out another envelope. The envelope opens up from the impact to the desk, causing a wad of bills to peek out. This is the first time I've actually seen that much money in cash. I have the same reaction Mirai did. Counting Mirai's portion, that makes 8 million yen just sitting there right on the desk. The way she just casually pulled it out of her desk and is willing to give it away so easily serves as a blatant reminder of how wealthy this family is. Go on, Sawatari, take it. I trust I don't have to tell you the same thing I told her. I nod unconsciously. I have no intention to quit this job. Naturally, I have a right to the money. I want to just reach out and take it, but with Mitarai there, I stop myself. She's still teetering in her decision and hasn't shown any sign of taking the money yet. Eventually, the mistress cuts in and breaks the silence. I should also mention that any servant who quits before their allotted time is up. Oh, here we go. Has to pay a penalty for breach of contract. Do keep that in mind. What? You're kidding. Her statement brings both Mitarai and I back to our senses. This is the first I've heard of this. You two are under formal binding contracts. There would be no exceptions. If you quit while you're under contract, I'll be forced to have you pay. The revelation has us stunned. Contract, I don't remember ever. Actually, I vaguely seem to recall being forced to sign something. Don't tell me, that was the contract? Is it even legal to make a binding contract in a situation like that? No, absolutely not. It is not legal to have somebody sign a contract in any state, whether, you know, he was orgasm or alcohol or under any kind of influence. Any kind of thing where they're out of sorts, you cannot get somebody to sign a contract legally when they're out of sorts like that. I didn't even read a single word of it. Me too. I've never signed or even seen anything like that. Unlike me, Mitarai is a lot more confident in her refusal. That's natural considering she was likely unconscious when she was made to sign it, which is illegal. Of course she won't remember. Now, of course, if they wanted to press charges, she probably has amazing lawyers. I mean, amazing lawyers. They would litigate the fuck out of her. Oh yeah, it would be slaughter. But the contracts do in fact exist, and as long as they do, you have an obligation to follow them. Could you let me see the contract? Sure. She unlocks a drawer, takes out both our contracts, and sets them on the desk. There you are. I walk up to the desk and scan my eyes over the supposed contract. Both Mitarai and my name are both written on them. Oh, again, Mitarai's and my name are written on them along with a stamp. Oof. The content of the contracts are identical for both. I go and just read over my own. Once I get to the point in question, I start reading aloud. In the event that the signee breaches the contract before the agreed upon time has elapsed, or the signee wishes to abolish the contract, he/she must pay an amount equal to 10% of his/her agreed upon payment. Oof! That's what, 10,000 yen? Or 100,000 yen. It's written there just as she says. The entry actually continues on with a bunch of cryptic words that I don't really comprehend, so I just stop reading there. 10% of our payment would be be 400,000 yen. Yep. That is about, am I wanting to say, is it $40,000? Oof. Not good. There's no way for a poor student like me to get that much money on short notice. Hell, I already emptied my bank account shortly before coming here. I don't even know if I have much more than a few hundred. Judging from the situation with Mitarai's brother, I would guess she's in the same boat as me. On one hand, I highly question the legality of such a ridiculous contract. Now, he should! It is a ridiculous contract. On the other, I also know that common sense tends to hold no sway over this family. It does say that, yes, this is the first time I've seen it. Well, that's your fault for not reading it. Never sign a fucking contract you haven't read. And never sign a contract that you haven't had a lawyer read. It goes with anything. Then get rights to any of your shit. Even your fucking time and your life. Make sure you have a lawyer read your fucking contracts, folks. How am I supposed to read something I just saw today? I want to scream at her. I had a feeling it would turn out this way. I knew she wouldn't let us quit so easily. If you quit, you're screwed. If you don't quit, you're screwed. We fell right into her trap. I just wanted you to keep in mind the risk you'll face if you decide to quit. So now that we have that out of the way, allow me to ask again, do you really want to quit? The decision was already made for us. There's only one responsible answer. I know what I'm going to say, but I steal a peek at Mitarai as I wait for her to speak up first. She looks at the floor in silence for a few seconds before raising her head and making her decision. Very well. If you'll allow it, I want to continue working here. She gives the answer I thought she would. Yeah, of course. I'm relieved to hear it, of course, but deep down inside, there's something more than that. A part of me is overjoyed at the fact that I would be able to have sex with her again. I feel so guilty about it that I want to die. If going through this ordeal will save my brother, I'll do whatever it takes. That makes me feel even more worthless. Why is someone like me allowed to live when innocent people like her brother are suffering? Wonderful. I'm so happy you had a change of heart. The mistress welcomes her to stay with a smile. Always putting your family first. You're a model example of an older sister. The work here isn't easy, but just hang in there for 2 weeks, and your cute little brother will be saved. That thought alone should give you the strength to make it through anything. After all, the weight of a single human life is far greater than the entire planet. Hearing the mistress spew that humanitarian crap makes me want to vomit. What a crock of shit. To her, human life is no more valuable than yesterday's trash. That money belongs to you now. She picks up one of the envelopes and hands it over. Mitarai reaches out to grab it. But just before she's about to touch it, the mistress adds one more thing. Our hospital? She says, I know. How about we arrange it so that his operation is done at our hospital? What? When it comes to transplant surgeries, our hospital boasts state-of-the-art technology along with a highly trained staff. We also have some good connections for organ donation. If you can't find someone within the family to be a donor, we should be able to find one for you right away. You mean it? Mitarai leans forward with interest. Of course, we'll give him the highest priority. If you want, we can even start planning for the surgery right now. If things go well, we could have him on the table in just a few days. Yes, please. Mitarai immediately dives at the opportunity. That settles it then. What hospital is your brother in right now? Oh yeah, here's the contact information. She picks up a pen and memo pad from the desk and starts writing on it. The mistress tears off the memo and gives it a look over. She like owns the world, folks. Ah yes, I know this hospital. The director and I are on good terms. I bet the entire Japanese diet and her are on fucking good terms. That's fortunate. There shouldn't be any problems making a transfer. I'll contact them right away and have him transferred to our hospital within the day. Thank you so much. Her attitude took a 100... Her attitude took a 180 from when she first stepped in the room. Yeah, let's get that right. The mistress has earned her complete trust. I'll give you this money then. She pushes the envelope back into the mistress's hands. I'll hang on to it. Yes, just leave the rest to me. Thank you again. She bows deeply. The mistress just smiles in response and puts the money back in the drawer. Unfortunately, I can't bring myself to be happy for Mitarai. This family isn't the type to do things out of the kindness of their heart. I get the feeling she's plotting something. I don't intend on sharing my suspicions with Mitarai, though. I do hope the operation is a success, and I don't want to ruin her moment with what basically amounts to my own personal opinion. I'm deep in thought when the mistress turns to me next. So what about you, Sawatari? Are you going to take the money or not? Huh? The sudden question snaps me out of my reverie. You wouldn't happen to have any intention of quitting, would you? I wouldn't dream of it. I answer immediately, reaching timidly out to the envelope. I'll take the money. I take the envelope and shove it away into my pocket. If I'm screwed either way, might as well pick the option that has me screwed with a lot of money. Yeah? Yeah. It's not like I have the money to pay for the breach of contract if I quit anyway. Besides, I'd feel bad if I just run away by myself while Mitarai is still here. I don't think she could make it in this place alone. Aren't you gonna count it? I'll save that for later. I'm not used to counting bills, so I'd have to do it one bill at a time. Sounds like a pain in the ass. It would take too long. I believe that takes care of everything. She gets up from her chair and puts her hands together. Now that that's out of the way, how about we all go have some breakfast? Today's gonna be a busy day. The mistress joyfully guides us out of the room by pushing against our backs. Urged on by the mistress, the three of us arrive at the dining room. Mikiko and Makoto are still there, standing at attention, ready for orders. Marisa, however, is no longer present. In her place is Kyoichi, looking rather groggy as he eats breakfast. Oh, hello, Kyoichi. You're late today. Kyoichi stops eating to return his mother's greeting. Good morning, Mother. Yeah, I was up last night playing games. Those online games again? I know it's summer vacation, but you shouldn't stay up too late. I know. He waves off his mother's advice. I'm a little relieved to see this kind of side to him. It's more appropriate for a boy his age. But wait a minute, if he's playing an online game, that means they get internet out here. Bum, bum, bum! I don't see any phone lines, and cell phones don't even get a reception out here. I wonder what they use. We're ready for breakfast now. Mikiko, get it ready, please. Yes, ma'am. Once we get into our seats, Mikiko immediately sets our food on the table. Though a bit late, we finally get to eat breakfast. Mitarai is wary of her food after what happened last night, but after seeing me eat with no problem, she follows my lead. There's nothing else to eat anyway, and it tastes good enough. I just stopped caring about it. You're going to need as much energy as you can get if you want to work here anyway. Breakfast proceeds pretty much as normal. Kyoichi eats in silence while the mistress browses the newspaper every now and then between bites. Soon both Mitarai and I are able to forget our unease and enjoy Mikiko's lovely dishes. I'm done. Kyoichi is the first to put his silverware down and finish eating. Makoto immediately comes over to clean up after him. Get Mikiko for me as usual. Yes, Mr. Kyoichi. Makoto disappears into the kitchen with the dishes. I have a sinking feeling that yesterday is about to repeat itself. Except this time, Mitarai is here too. I guess this family doesn't care who's watching. You called Mr. Kyoichi? The usual, please. Kyoichi isn't shy about saying what he wants. Yes, sir. And YouTube. If this is where I have to cut you guys, well, because you guys and BitChute are the only ones getting these, then I guess that's where we'll end. We'll see if we keep going, but this'll be my exiting, I guess you could say. My parting, closing. Let's get this right. This will be my closing for Grimm's Hentai Corner on Starless. But we will continue. We will continue until things get a little crazy. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I am out. Or rather, it's the Grim Lord and I am out. I'll get it right. Mikiko's expression darkens a bit, but she answers obediently. She sits in the chair next to him as she did yesterday and pats her lap. Here you go. With her signal, Kyochi lies down across her lap. Mirai watches with confusion and curiosity as she eats. I know what's about to happen, but she has no idea. If possible, I prefer she didn't have to witness such a bizarre spectacle right after she managed to cheer up a little. Unfortunately, my wishes hold no sway over the reality that's about to unfold. There we go. Mikiko starts stripping herself out of her uniform. The fork in Mirai's hand comes to a complete stop as she watches in stunned silence. I am able to keep my cool because I knew this was coming, but she has no idea what she's in store for. This will no doubt leave quite an impact. Hurry. Right away. Mikiko complies to Kyochi's pestering and she starts taking off her bra, mindful of Mirai's eyes on her. Without even acknowledging our existence a single time. Mirai and I remain frozen in place. We still have half our dinner left, but after what just happened and Kyochi's semen stinking up the place, we don't have much of an appetite. Pretending to eat breakfast any longer would be a waste of time. We should get going, too. Yeah. We're about to get up from our seats when suddenly we're preceded by the mistress. I'm stuffed. Ah! She's being so quiet that I forgot she was there. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what happens next. Now it's my turn to get my milk. Sawatari, would you be so kind? Yes, ma'am. I lost my chance to leave the dining room. Now I have no choice but to go along with it. I walk over to her while Mirai takes a seat back in her chair. You too, Makoto. Makoto is standing in the corner of the room, waiting for this moment. He answers her call and comes over to join us. Mirai watches on anxiously as the next nightmare is about to start. Alright, you two, you know the drill. Take off your clothes and line up. We do as instructed and follow the same procedure as yesterday. Yes, that's good. He looks like I'm in for another big haul. She looks back and forth at our crotches. We were both aroused by Mikiko's display and our penises are bulging in our briefs. Let's not waste any more time. Off with your underwear, please. Again, we follow directions and slide our briefs down over our legs. And of course, can't show that, so I think we're out of here. And, more Starless coming soon. Dining room. Now that was a sight I'd rather not have shown Mirai. I grumbled to myself as I walked down the hall. I'll have to make sure to apologize to her later. I bump into Mirai in the front hall. She just came from the bathroom, wiping her hands with a towel, looking just as depressed as me. Yeah. It was pretty crazy. At any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. Later.